Thank you so much for that, Sam. Got up this morning and something impressed me to read Great Controversy, chapter 40. If you haven't read that recently, read it today. It's about the second coming of Christ and what it's going to be like. And it just makes you want to cry, and you're so anxious for the Lord to come. We've had so many people that we know pass away in the last few months. I just heard of another one a few minutes ago. Our head elder, Rod Stewart's father, passed away this week. And so we need to remember the Stewart family in our prayers also. Our scripture reading. Let's turn in our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 to 21. And I'll be reading from the New International Version. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let's kneel as we come before the Lord. Almighty God, you, the creator of everything, when we look at the sky at night, we see the enormous creation throughout the universe. And it's only the beginning because our eyes can't see all that's out there. We look around the world and see the beauty, even in this sinful world, of the things that you've made, the animals and the plants, and we're amazed. The more we study them and look at them, the more we realize that you are an amazing God. And we've come before you today to worship you. And Lord, we know that time is short. Things are happening that haven't happened before. The end is near. Lord, we pray for each and every one of our members, those that are present here and those that are away, that you will be with them. Give them what they need, Lord. We're in a battlefield. Some are injured. Some are dying. Some are crying for help in various ways. Lord, we pray for your spirit to be with each one, that you'll give each one of us and each one of them what they need to be conquerors, to be ready that when Jesus comes, we will all be ready to go home with you. We pray this morning that you'll be with Eurides as he preaches to us, as he brings your word, that you will speak to us through him. We love you, Lord. We can hardly wait to see your face. Bless us through this service, and as we leave here, may we be a blessing to those that we come in contact with each day, our family, our friends, our neighbors, and strangers on the street. In Jesus' name we pray this. Amen.
Morning, church. Morning. Happy Sabbath. As always, I'm very happy to be here and thankful to God to be able to share his word with his church, his people, one more time. So this week, Here's a praise for you. Was a very exciting week, very stressful week somehow for us. But I officially became a United States citizen. And so, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you believe with me, that's really exciting, but I'm not as excited as when I think about what the Bible says, that we are citizens of heaven. Amen. And that is the real citizenship I'm looking forward to. And I can't wait to be there, to go on my first trip there, and stay forever if I can. So praise the Lord for that. But that's going to be a different sermon, possibly in January. So keep it in your minds. And I'm going to check in January if you remember that I said this today. Just kidding, I'm not going to test you. That's okay. But yeah, that was really exciting. Praise the Lord for that. Today, the sermon, the title is, I've Got Your Back. And it's just a message, just a reminder for us that Jesus has paid the price, that Jesus forgave our sins. That doesn't matter what we've done, and if you remember the sermon I preached last time, growing and walking with Jesus, doesn't matter where we are in that journey, we have to keep walking and growing because Jesus had paid for us. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning asking for your Holy Spirit that you may be with us as we open the Bible, as we read the words in it. May you talk to us and may we feel you, may we encounter you and spend quality time with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So for those who know me, another interesting fact, I keep sharing facts about me every time I preach, I'm not really a dog person. And so I got to explain myself. When I was little, and I can't remember if I mentioned this before, I was like 4 years old, I was visiting my grandma. She had a dog, and it was pretty big, or seemed big to me since I was so small. And all of a sudden, the dog decided to bite me. It, back here, it just bit me. And so I was, after that, I'm always been like scared of dogs. Except that I'm actually not scared of dogs, I realized, because I'm okay with dogs as long as they're friendly. And so just this week, because I had to travel up to Portland, I stayed with William Hurtado. I don't know if you remember him. He was our speaker for Global Youth Day back 2019, I think. So we stayed at his house, and he had this very nice, cute, small dog, and I was sitting on the couch and jumping in my lap and was just, you know, being playful and so nice. And it reminded me, hey, I'm not actually scared of dogs as long as they're friendly. The minute a dog barked at me, you see me shaking. Shaking. Yeah. So I just remember, because when I go to the times I've been to Lynette's house, she's got these huge dogs. I don't know if you have seen Lynette's dogs. They're huge. And I go there and I'm like, oh, please don't bark at me. But they're actually friendly dogs, and I like them too. So as long as they don't, so I've come to the realization that as long as they're cute and they don't bark at me, I'm okay with dogs. So I'm still saying that I'm not a dog person. But I've realized that it's not only with dogs. It's with any type of animal that I come across to. It could be a cat, could be a cow, could be a whatever type of animal it is. As long as they're friendly, I'm totally fine. So for those who don't like raccoons, tell me this is not a cute one. Isn't it a cute one? Really cute, right? I wish I could have one as a pet, except that we live in a not pets allowed apartment. So I can't have one, any kind of pet, so that's why I've just resignated myself to have fish, which are probably illegal as well, but we're not telling. Or tell me you don't like this cute little lamb, right? So as long as animals are friendly, I'm okay with them. Doesn't matter what type of animal it is. I'm totally fine. So why am I telling you this? So you have a background on me that I don't actually like dogs that are not friendly, but as long as they're friendly, I like them since I was little. At the orphanage, One of my friends, his name was Alfonso. So this is a picture where we have Alfonso is this one to my right. And that's Ismael. But the story today is about Alfonso. We lived in the same house ever since I got to the orphanage. We had the same house parents. And then probably a year and a half after that, he moved to a different house. That those things happen every now and then, that they switch children from house to house, depending on the situation. I don't remember why he got moved, but we stayed, you know, like siblings and really good friends. And there was a rule that we had to work certain amount of hours during the summer, either in the farm or in the yard or in the bakery, wherever it was that we were supposed to work. We went to work in the farms, and so we were growing vegetables and growing plantains and yucca, and it was really exciting. We helped keep each other accountable because we needed at least, I can't remember, 280, 300 hours. It's a ridiculous amount of hours. Working 8 hours every day, like adults. And so it was sort of hard, but having a friend to go to work with every day and enjoying work, that made it really nice for us. Now, he got a dog in his new house that I don't know that it was legal at the orphanage for him to have that dog that belonged to him. I don't know what the deal was. But he had this dog, and I can't remember exactly the breed of dog it was, but it seemed to me like it was some sort of pit bull maybe mixed with something else. It looked really scary, and I didn't like dogs. And I'm like, Alfonso, why do you have this dog? Like, why did you, don't even bring it to work. Like, it's not nice. So the dog stayed home for most of the time we were working. And it wasn't just us. There were probably 30 of us working in the farm. But one day, because I got to admit that I wasn't a bad kid, but sometimes I did things that were probably illegal as well. We decided to escape and go to the river. Now, the river was probably a mile and a half down into the woods in the orphanage, so we'll have to run and rush, and probably 15, 20 minutes running we'll get there and you know, just go swimming for a little bit and then go back. And, of course, it's really hot in the summer, you know, working 8 hours every day. But the cool thing was that we got to work by tasks, and if we finish our tasks, if we were supposed to start working at 2, and by 3 we were done because we rushed through it, then we had free time. If they discovered that we had to finish our task, they would assign us more, but we didn't tell them. So we decided to go back to the house. It was really hot. We had run out of water, and we needed water, so we went to get water, and then we said, actually, since we're done, why don't we go to the river? So let's go back home, have some water, get shorts, and then meet here to go to the river. So we agreed to do that. Once we get to the point or the place where we're supposed to meet, I see that Alfonso brings his dog. And I'm already shaking. I'm like, Alfonso, what are you doing? What's the dog doing here? We're supposed to go to the river by ourselves. Like, what is the dog doing here? No, it's okay. It's going to be okay. I'm like, don't bring the dog to the river. Take the dog back to the house. I'm just going to wait for you here. And he refused and refused, and there were a couple of the other kids that agreed to go with us to the river. And they were sort of like first trying to agree with me that Alfonso should take the dog back to the house, but then they were like, oh, it's okay, fine, bring it. I'm like, this is not a good idea. I actually don't want to go now. But it was really hot, so I wanted to go. So we went to the river, running. Alfonso was ahead with the dog because the dog was running as well. As soon as we get there, he ties the dog to a bush or something, can't remember, and we start swimming, and all of a sudden we hear this barking, and we hear this screaming, and it sounds like a little kid that's screaming, and so we go up, and we see that the dog had broken the leash or whatever it was that he was tied with, and had bitten a kid, and so he went and got his dog, and the kid disappeared, and we were really scared, went back to the orphanage, and as soon as we get to the orphanage, like, what do we do now? We don't tell anybody what happened, like what's going to happen now. To our surprise, The kid knew we belonged to the orphanage, and he went and told his mom. His mom took him to the hospital, and they did whatever it is they do at the hospital when you get bitten by a dog. And then the mom showed up at the orphanage with the kid and talked to the director and said, "Hey, one of your kids was at the river with the dog, and the dog bit my kid." So the director investigated, found out who the dog belonged to, and then Alfonso was the one who went up to the office, and he's the one who basically got in trouble. Now, we all were supposed to get in trouble, but what Alfonso did is what really touched me. He didn't tell anybody who was with him. He took all the blame on himself. He said, it's my fault. I planned to go to the river. I took the dog. I shouldn't have taken the dog. And the dog bit the kid, and it's my fault. So I'm just going to pay for whatever it is that I need to pay, extra work or well, they will usually make us read it on like one or two chapters. I don't know. I don't think that was a punishment. Not to me, because I love reading anyways. And I prepare sermons out of it. But that was the punishment. We have to do extra work, and we lost our privileges. We wouldn't go to the playground to play for weeks, or we wouldn't go on a house trip or something. So Alfonso basically covered us. And that makes me think about Paul and something he did. Today we're going to be looking at Philemon. And what happened with Paul and Philemon, and what happened in this story that compares to the story that I just told you from the orphanage. The background of this book is as follows. Paul was in prison. And while Paul was in prison, someone came to him. This person that came to him, his name was Onesimus. So Onesimus came to Paul while he was in prison and told him whatever had happened between him and Philemon. Now, who was Philemon? Philemon was someone who, a Roman citizen who met Paul in one of his many missionary trips when Paul went preaching and teaching about Jesus. And it was probably when he went to Ephesus that he met Paul. He became a Christian. Philemon became a Christian and then went back to his house as a Christian. And him and someone else who was with him named Epaphras, they decided to start a Christian ministry or a Christian church. So Philemon had a church in his house after meeting Paul somewhere. And they stayed in touch, whether by letters or visiting each other every now and then. We don't know how. But they were really good friends, and they stayed in touch. But since Philemon was a Roman citizen, he followed the Roman laws, and so he had slaves. And what happened was that Onesimus was one of the slaves of Philemon. And at some point, there was a disagreement, something really bad that happened between Philemon and Onesimus. We don't know exactly what it was, but Onesimus probably stole money from Philemon or something, and then ran away and left the house. He was a fugitive from the law. And now Philemon had all the legal rights to send him to prison and to take action on Onesimus, who had done something wrong. And so Onesimus comes to Paul while Paul is in prison and probably searching for help. And while he's talking to Paul and telling him what happened, Paul starts talking to Onesimus about Jesus, and then Onesimus becomes a Christian as well. And not only he becomes a Christian, but starts serving Paul. And now Onesimus is a Christian and is serving Paul while Paul is in prison and probably helping Paul with his missionary letters and his ministry in general. So Paul is in this really tough situation now. I know Philemon, he used to be your master and you used to be his slave. You ran away from him because you did something wrong, but now you're a Christian. So Paul decides to write a letter, and this is what the letter of Philemon did. The book of Philemon is just 25 chapters. It's about. So let's go and open our Bibles. I didn't put the whole thing in here because it was a lot of verses, but you can open your Bible and let's read through it so we get a general idea of what is it that Paul is asking Philemon to do and how he approaches this situation that is sort of hard and confusing. Because remember that Philemon had all the legal rights to send Onesimus to prison. But then Paul now is interceding for Onesimus. So Book of Philemon is right before Hebrews. It's a little bit tricky to find if you are not familiar with it. So right before Hebrews, Philemon, and it's just 25 verses. Let's read through it. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow laborer, to the beloved Apphia, Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith, which you have toward the Lord Jesus and toward all the saints, that the sharing of your faith may become effective by the acknowledgement of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in your love because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. Therefore, though I might be very bold in Christ to commend you what is fitting, yet for love's sake, I rather appeal to you, being such a one as Paul, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains, who once was unprofitable to you, but now is profitable to you and to me. I am sending him back. You therefore receive him, that is my own heart, whom I wish to keep with me, that on your behalf he might minister to me in my chains for the gospel. But without your consent, I wanted to do nothing, that your good deed might not be my compulsion, as it were but voluntary. For perhaps he departed for a while for this purpose, that you might receive him forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If then you count me as partner, receive him as you would me. But if he has wronged you or owes you anything, put that on my account. I, Paul, am writing with my own hand. I will repay, not to mention to you that you owe me even your own self besides. Yes, brother, let me have joy from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in the Lord. Having confidence in you, in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. But meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, with your spirit. Amen. And so that is the letter that Paul sent to Philemon after finding out what had happened between him and Onesimus. And so now you have an idea. So this is what happened. Onesimus wronged Philemon in some way and then went to Paul, became a Christian, and now Paul is interceding for him. So Paul is writing. And it's really nice how he. So these are the things that we're gonna be looking at while we see the book of Philemon or the letter of Philemon: disobedience, intercession, and forgiveness. Remember these three key words of the sermon today: disobedience, intercession, and forgiveness. If you want, you can write them down. Look at these verses. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So this is really bold from Paul to be asking Philemon to receive Onesimus back. And not only to receive him back, Paul is not even asking, hey, Philemon, you remember this problem you have with this one slave that ran away from you, that probably stole a lot of money from you? Can you please forgive him? He's going to go back to your house. Have him go back to your house, and he's just going to work with you, and he's going to go back to be your slave. That is not even what Paul is asking. He's asking Philemon, hey, can you please forgive this guy who's probably a thief, who's probably stole from you? Can you forgive him? Can you receive him back? But no longer as a slave. Please don't make him a slave. That'll be humiliating. Just receive him back in your house and forgive him in such a way that you receive him back, not as a slave, but as a brother in Jesus Christ. There is something interesting if you notice what we read the letter to Philemon, the epistle to Philemon. Paul never explicitly mentions the death and the resurrection of Jesus. Why is that? Oh, maybe because Paul is acting it out. Maybe because Paul, in this letter, is being the intercessor. Like, he is acting like Jesus would do. This is what Jesus would do. Hey, you did wrong. I am here interceding for you. And not only that, he says, if he has done any wrong to you, you know what? I will pay that. It's what Paul told Philemon in the letter. If he has stolen money from you, I'll pay for the money. If you want to punish him, then punish me. I will take the blame. Paul was interceding for this guy in that moment. So there was no need of explicitly mentioning when he was actually acting the gospel, when he was living the gospel. So the next verse is a very important word and key word in the whole book is this word is used here. If you consider me as a partner, that word every time is used in the original Greek is the word koinonia, which is a word that means fellowship, that means when people come together and receive something together. And he's saying, if we are partners in Christ, if we have received the same gospel, if we know that we are sinners and that Jesus forgave us and that Jesus gave us a new life, then we have to forgive others. And so I'm asking you, I'm pleading that you please forgive Onesimus, so that we can be fellow brothers in Jesus Christ. He's interceding for him. And not only he was in that moment, like if we remember, if we go to what it was our scripture today, 2 Corinthians 5:18-21, Paul really preached, this is what he lives, like his ministry was based on asking the brothers and sisters to just have this harmony between them, to just live the gospel, to forgive each other, to love each other, to leave all their differences behind, and to become a body of believers who really love Jesus and that they really show that through their actions. And so he's telling them, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. God is not counting our sins against us. He knows that we have been, remember that word we're looking at this today? Disobedience. He knows we have done wrong against God. But he doesn't think about it. Jesus intercedes for us, and then God forgives us. And his forgiveness, that circle of disobedience and intercession and forgiveness, the ministry of reconciliation happened through Jesus Christ, and now we are ambassadors, and we have committed that message of reconciliation. Not just that we preach, not just that we go and witness to others, but we live that. Not that we just tell others, hey, Jesus forgave us, so we have to forgive others. But do we really live that gospel truth in our lives when someone does something against us? We can be either Paul in this scenario. We could be Onesimus. We could be Philemon. I don't care who you are. Let us leave the gospel of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As through God, we're making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who has no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And that's what Alfonso did for us. He knew it was our fault too, because we all agreed to go to the river. But he decided to take all the blame upon himself. And you guys are all good. And this is the same thing Paul did for Onesimus. Yeah, you stole the money, and you deserve to go to jail, or whatever it was the punishment for that crime at the time. But guess what? Paul forgave him. And not only Paul forgave him, Paul asked Philemon, who was a Christian, to forgive him so that the gospel of reconciliation in God was demonstrated in his church. So that's the same message for us today. The gospel of reconciliation and forgiveness. We have failed God in so many ways. And I don't know anybody's life. But if you think back and you realize that you have done anything wrong against God or against your brother and sister in church or your family or anyone, hey, God is interceding for us. Doesn't matter what we've done. God can still forgive us. And it doesn't matter what we are, citizens of which country we are, or the color of our skin, or the language you speak. The Bible also says that there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian or Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. That is the gospel of reconciliation. And so we're going into the Christmas season, and we love celebrating the gospel that Jesus came and his birth on earth, his incarnation, was what God used to forgive our sins through Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And as we go into that Christmas season, it's just my desire that we remember that this message of reconciliation on Christmas, and Jesus' birth, Christmas coming to forgive us, that is the gospel of reconciliation as well. And it's not just for us to make it personal between, yes, it's actually the point that we accept Jesus and his birth and that he's in our hearts forgiving us, but also that the koinonia that must exist between us as brothers and sisters, that we remember that God forgave us and that we have to forgive others. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this beautiful Sabbath. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the gospel of reconciliation. Thank you for forgiving our sins and for not thinking on the wrong things we have done before. Just not even thinking about it. You sent your son. You sent your son to this earth to forgive our sins. And we thank you, Lord. Please be with the Valley View Church, each member, each family. I place them in your hands. Send your Holy Spirit to be with us. We might be hurting with sickness and problems. Just want to feel your Holy Spirit and to know that you are with us through it. Thank you for your love and thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.